Hour three, triple option with RBKD. This one is, this will take you back very quickly to the 80s.
This is going to be the first dance that Rod and his lady have on Saturday nights.
No. This is a nice song, though, but no. No, it's not going to be.
What is going to be
not,
the first
This is not going to be on any, I don't think this will be played at all. Actually,
take my breath the away. It's perfect.
Even the reception or any of that, it's never gonna. No, this song is not gonna be played.
What kind of reaction would this song generate if it wasn't for the first dance? Right, if this just like randomly comes on in between the cha-cha slide and Bust a Move by, you know, like what by Young MC? What happens then?
Cha-cha slide might make it on there. Mm,
there you go.
No, I know this is a great song, but it's not my kind of slow song.
Is it Berlin or the Berlin?
Berlin. Mm-hmm.
That's the artist?
Pretty sure.
Oh, man. One Hit Wonder?
I don't know.
I don't know of anything else.
Okay. Yeah, because I've never heard of that person before or that artist.
A pretty good city.
You've got a couple of One Hit Wonders today.
There's a lot in the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s were full of them.
I mean, and really good songs, too.
They were great songs. Yeah, but it's not about
talk about Lose Yourself with the Outfield.
Yeah, you're right. It's the cocaine, though. The cocaine was just fueling a lot of creativity
once
in the 80s.
Once they got big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were
done. Then they were done when they got broke and they had nothing else. Not the cocaine. They couldn't afford it to fuel the creativity. And then done. One Hit Wonder.
And there you are.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Tragic.
So. Stay away from cocaine, kids.
Yes.
The hell of a drug.
Oh. Yep.
Well, I took out of that. I need to keep doing cocaine. Yeah. Otherwise, my career is going to come to an end.
Creativity
right,
going.
My bad. That was a bad story. That's not a good
It'll
story.
It'll burn out quickly.
Yeah, it burns out, kids.
It'll burn out.
It's
at
not
some
sustainable.
Point.
So don't start with the drugs.
Don't listen to Uncle BK on that.
He's like, I got the wrong moral of the story.
Yeah, I know.
I need to go find more cocaine, more potent cocaine, so I can do more of it.
That was not what we're trying to get.
It's not
to.
What I was trying to
hey,
get.
Hey, do you guys have a first dance though? Do you have, is there a song that is your song that you guys, or you're definitely going to dance to?
We don't have a song.
That's more of a younger thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have a song. Yeah, I feel bad. We don't have a song. It's weird.
And that's fine.
I mean,
we're going to
dance
to
something at the wedding. I don't know. I forgot what song it is. I can text my lady and ask her, but yeah, we don't have a song. It's weird. That is strange. My woman doesn't like to dance a lot. She's not a big dancer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, some women like
to dance. That's another pro in her. And
she doesn't like to dance.
Because we don't like getting dragged out to dance.
I want to dance.
Really. But I don't force her to dance. Yeah, she's just not a big dancer.
So you're forcing her to dance.
I'm usually forcing her to dance.
That's reversed.
Yeah, exactly. Usually the men are the ones who are like trying to stand in the corner and chill.
Yeah,
the
we'll
old two-step.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll dance. Mm. So there you go.
I might ask the texters on the Specs text line, 337-3776, the best and worst first dance songs at a wedding.
Oh.
What would be the worst first dance song? Like, if this song is played, then you're doomed for failure.
Oh.
Or it just makes no sense to be the first dance song.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do the
Humpty Dance.
Like,
stay
I feel
away
like,
from that.
Yeah.
Any like, highly sexualized
yeah.
thing. Like, if it's Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, it's like
you're. It'd be weird for everybody else.
You got
like,
grandparents
yeah, the first,
there.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, if you introduce everybody, you're like, let's get us. Like, well, we know you guys are going to get it
we
on.
Got
but
it.
We don't need you to be on the dance floor, like, you know, make out basically.
I've been living together for years. You've been getting it on.
Yeah, sexual healing. So yeah, anything to be sexualized is like, nah, you can't do that. The way grandmas,
healing.
You know, are watching. Like old great aunts are watching and stuff like that.
Well, that's the other thing too. Are you gonna really make out with her?
Oh yeah, nah, we're not gonna. We talk for the kiss.
Yeah.
Nah, that got to be tasteful. It'll be yeah. It won't be just
well,
be a peck.
Making out is very tasteful.
Yeah.
It'll be better than a peck. Nah, we can't make out. No tongue. No tongue.
Okay.
There's got to be a little tongue.
Little tongue?
Little tongue.
Really?
Little
Do
tongue.
Do people get a little tongue at weddings?
I've seen some tongue.
Matt, you probably
have. I have seen some tongue and I thought, wow. Man.
Wow.
You guys were excited about this.
We haven't talked. Now we got to talk about that.
Yeah, there's little things like that.
I'll address it with my woman tonight. Like, am I going to slip you the tongue? That's going to be weird. I don't know. I never have to ask about that. Usually you just do it.
Yeah.
But now I don't want to surprise her up there.
I don't know.
And then the pictures of her eyes are wide open and me just.
Right. Whoa.
See, whoa.
I know there's 8 schools, programs that would say Texas and Oklahoma slip the tongue.
Mm. Yes, they. Great transition.
Nice. Well, can I untransition you for a second?
Untransition.
Oh,
we
wow.
can transition back. I'll have another one.
I'm thinking Area Codes by Ludacris would be the worst.
That would be the worst.
Could you imagine?
Especially because 512 is not in there.
No, it's not.
I was waiting for 512.
It'd be insane.
Austin wasn't big enough.
If you like go behind your woman's back and play that song about you having women.
Wow. Yeah.
Every area code.
That's a way to start off on the wrong foot.
Someone's walking out on that one.
Yeah. And and you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, 337-3776. Give us the worst song for sure.
That's
but
one of the
if
worst.
You've got one of the best ones. And at some point, I want to figure out what song you guys are dancing to.
I'll text the lady and ask her.
Text her and find out about that.
I'll get that done.
There's been a lot of statements that have been coming out the last couple days and a lot of hurt feelings. And this has been very interesting to cover. I think all three of us have covered a lot of different things. And this does feel like you're living through a 30 for 30. And that at some point, this is going to be rehashed. And we're going to see this as kind of the changing landscape in college athletics. So college football with Texas and Oklahoma, they have officially announced and put out as a joint statement that they are asking for admission to the SEC. The SEC, BK, apparently is going to meet Thursday, and all their presidents, they need 11 out of 14 votes. Everything I'm gathering and just reading, it seems like that's definitely going to happen. In fact, I think it may be 14-0. I think A&M may save a little face, and I think that'd be the right move.
I think they should do that as well. We're not sure if there's going to be a vote on Thursday.
They're going to meet.
But there is a call scheduled for Thursday. Yeah. And KD, you said it earlier. You think by the weekend, this thing will be official.
I don't think Rod's going to be married yet.
And we keep seeing at Saturday night, right? Yeah. So we've got, 3 days then between now and then you expect that to happen. We keep hearing about this 2025 date, guys. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma informed the Big 12 that they're leaving in 2025. Yeah. And they asked for acceptance into the SEC in 2025. That's the popular date that keeps being thrown around, and we get the reasons why, but there's no way we're going to have to wait that long for this. I mean, it feels like 2022, 2023 at the latest, Rod, before Texas and Oklahoma are officially members of the SEC. Like, I haven't even gotten the opportunity to wrap my head around this thing yet, and all of a sudden, this might be Texas's last year in the Big 12.
Yeah, it seems to be happening at an accelerated rate, so I agree. I think now we don't know exactly how it is going to, materialize, but I do believe Texas will be playing in the SEC in 2022. Matt Hayes had the report that an SEC athletic director told him that they expect Texas and Oklahoma to be playing in the SEC in 2022. Chip Brown threw out there the report, kind of along with your theory, KD, about how this is beneficial to ESPN, so why wouldn't they try to expedite this thing? My man Chip Brown had a report that ESPN may be willing to pay the exit fee, if you will, the $70 million per school, upwards of $160 million for Texas and Oklahoma, because that would basically add up to what is the remaining, remaining number on the Longhorn Network deal. And because they are also in business with the SEC, they will also want this to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So if that is the case, and we have the report from Dog Sports yesterday that Kevin Eltife has already lined up the cash, that if the Texas does have to pay the $70 million, that they have the $70 million ready to pay already. So they'd be really – now, I don't know what that means about Oklahoma. Texas would have the $70 million. Chip Brown's report I like a little bit more because he's saying that ESPN, basically would be willing to foot the bill of the remaining money, that stuff on the Longhorn Network deal, and that would basically pay the $160 million exit fee that Texas and Oklahoma both need to pay in order to resolve the 2025 grant of rights.
Do that instead. So you can save that booster money for something else.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's true.
I mean, the LHN money, we've heard for a couple of days now that LHN is just going to be absorbed into the SEC network. Dissolved is another term that I've heard being used. But if ESPN owes you all of that money anyways and there's nowhere else it can go, use it for that. Make this thing happen, especially if you're so hell-bent, which it seems like Texas and OU are, in getting in the SEC as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in by 2022, and I'd be shocked if it's later than that, so if we get to 2023. So I think it's going to happen, and best-case scenario, Rod kind of brought it up earlier, is that, look, I mean, they had already reached out the Big 12 and some of the members to find out what the new TV deal was going to be. And they're trying to renegotiate that early on. And they got a pretty stern, hey, you're not going to get what you want. And so with Texas and Oklahoma gone, it's hard for me to believe that if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 or the ACC don't want some of these schools, but this whole conference is going to dissolve. That's the best case scenario, because then you don't have the payouts that you would have.
Right, yeah. If the irate eight, the other schools in the Big 12 find homes very, mm-hmm. very quickly. If they can find homes over the next couple of weeks to months, then, yeah, that would really expedite this process and almost guarantee that in the 2022-23 academic year, you'd be in the SEC.
Yeah.
Guys, I was thinking about this earlier today. There was one game on Texas's schedule this year that I was already more excited about than just about any other game that the Longhorns have in any sport. And that game just got more exciting for me. And I think more exciting for Texas fans. And I think it's a must-attend game.
Fayetteville?
No.
Okay.
It's a basketball game. It's Chris Beard's return trip to Lubbock.
Okay.
I was expecting that to be a madhouse every year, right? Every time Chris Beard returned to Texas Tech, I figured that place would be absolutely insane because they hate that dude after what happened, right? And you just look on Twitter for 5 minutes and you'll, even 6 months after the hire, you'll still see Texas Tech fans complaining about Chris Beard all the time.
Hey, you know the Objective Tech fan that I mentioned yesterday,
mm-hmm.
who was a really good guy? The one thing he did say, he said, I'm cool with y'all leaving. He said, business is business. You know, it is what it is. He said, the Beard thing still really pisses
yeah.
me off.
That will never go away. So I was thinking, you know, for decades to come, as long as Chris Beard was the head coach at Texas, every time they went to the United Supermarkets Arena, that would be a madhouse. But now there might only be one chance for Tech fans to get their shots in at Chris Beard. That's going to be nuts,
yeah.
dude.
I already
thought they needed extra security for that game. I already wanted to go just to see what that was going to be like. Now, I mean, that's going to be the most expensive ticket in the history of Texas Tech. Like, more than 08 Texas. Sorry to bring that up, Texas fans. But, like, that's going to be the most anticipated sporting event in Texas Tech history, and that's just going to be an insane time at United Supermarkets Arena. So, obviously looking forward to football, right? Maybe last road trips to some of these sites, and who knows if Texas will ever feels like a hyperbole, but who knows when the next time Texas will play some of these Big 12 teams in football will be. But, man, basketball, like if this was the last year for Texas OU football, obviously that would be the one, but the Tech basketball game feels like a must-see TV and one of the most anticipated sporting events for me if this is Texas's last year in the Big 12.
And Arkansas is just a warm-up in football, where if you were looking at that and saying that's a huge rivalry to be bigger than Tech, we may not see them in 20 years. No, probably see them next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, if you're a fan, I mean, that's one of the big pluses, right, of this move for you, this monumental shift. You get your rivals back. You get rivals now back at home, right? You get Texas A&M. You know, they'll be in Austin, we assume, every other year. You'll get Arkansas. I'm assuming, you know, every other year you'll get Arkansas that'll come. And obviously that's not as heated a rival as Texas A&M will be. And obviously Oklahoma is Texas' number one rival. But I think it is good for the fan experience. They'll be getting some of those rivals now back home. Texas lost a lot of marquee, sexy games at home. They're making up for it now.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll – I mean, you remember whenever for older people like me and Rod that – I mean, I definitely remember the Arkansas rivalry.
I don't – well, you know what? No, I take that back.
Strolin, Nolan, Todd Day.
It was
Grovey.
I don't remember that. I was reminded of it, though, in Max O'Leary because we faced Arkansas, I believe, in the first bowl game in 99.
Or 99, yeah. 99, yeah,
we lost
to rough one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then they ended up facing them again later. So then it came up, and I learned a little bit of the history of the rivalry. But, yeah, I didn't get to experience it.
It was huge, but there's going to be this gap of Texas fans that don't really get it, and there's certainly going to be a generation that's older that does get it, and now maybe one that's younger that really
just
gets it.
Just meet an Arkansas fan, and you'll get it.
Mm-hmm. You'll get it.
It won't take you long.
Oh, because I know Texas history, I already hated Arkansas before this game, but when Texas and Arkansas played each other in the Texas Bowl, which was one of the worst games in Texas football history.
59 total yards.
I mean, Arkansas is putting it on Texas when they're playing them lately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I got my first baseball taste too of Arkansas fans in person, and I understood the hate, and I do understand the hate. So I'm excited to hate them with reason. Like I guess they deserve hate. There's always a reason to hate on Arkansas and hate on Arkansas fans, but like, you know, when you play them once every 20 years per sport feels a little forced.
Mm-hmm.
It won't feel forced anymore with this game coming back annually.
And the funny thing about my hate, kind of getting back to your point about the game you're looking forward to the most, I mean, I'll never forget Day, Mayberry, Oliver Miller, that whole squad.
Too soon on Lee 90, Mayberry, man.
When Lee Mayberry hits that three after missed free throws. I still bring it up to Lance Blanks and Travis Mays every time I see him. They're like, will you please stop? Like, just got to.
It's like the worst moment of our lives.
I'm not trying to relive it, man.
We're not doing that. And by the way, what did we do that year? I'm like, oh, you had the best run I had ever seen, and we were 3 points away from going to the first Final Four, which is going to blow my mind. And who'd we lose to at Reunion Arena in Dallas? Arkansas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, Strollin, and that's where Strollin Nolan got that name. Credit to Kirk Bowles, who gave him that moniker after he had walked out because the game was going to be over. And Mike Anderson, of all people, the assistant coach, had to coach. That next year, Arkansas comes back. We know it's the last time for them in the SWC in 91. And Texas finished it off and with like a 10-point lead. And you knew it was definitely over with now. We made sure it was like 20 seconds left. It's the only time I've ever heard it. At least with the Texas crowd, and I don't want to ever hear it again. But the whole drum, which was packed, started chanting SEC.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
You were cool with it then?
I was cool with it because we were just mocking
taking shots at him.
Texas did it during a Texas-Georgia game.
You're right. They
Texas
did.
Texas fans
were
mocking Georgia during that game. Yeah.
I think Big 12 fans have done that in mocking with SEC fans in the past. I was randomly at a Georgia-Oklahoma State game a few years ago, back when Dez was at OSU. Fun game, but Oklahoma State beat Georgia. And I was with some Georgia fans, just guys I grew up with. This was like way back in high school. And like on our way out, everyone was giving us the SEC chant. And I'm like, well, I'm one of you. I'm Big 12. This means nothing to me. But yeah, I think Big 12 fans have used that in mocking the SEC.
Times, they certainly have changed.
And yes, they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
although I don't think Texas fans are going to chant that.
There will be some who
do. There'll be some who do. Yeah.
At a conference tournament or at a national,
I don't know what circumstances.
Dude, matchup where
if Texas is in the playoff and they're playing a non-SEC school and they win, like if Texas is playing Ohio State, I wouldn't be surprised if you hear some fans do the SEC chant.
Well, hey, all you SEC people, if that happens, have fun with it.
Yeah,
fun with it.
I'm not one of those.
No, I'm not going to be doing that. Because I've never understood conference. Like, I don't get that thing.
I don't either.
I root against Oklahoma all the time. I root against, like, every team besides Kansas for personal reasons. Every other Big 12 team, I don't want to see them succeed. Even though I know it's better for the Big 12.
It is.
Better for, like, the fan in me can't stand it. I don't root for those teams. I see Oklahoma State in a major bowl game. I'm not rooting for them. I want them to lose. If I see Texas Tech playing.
So you're rooting against them, though. I'm not rooting for them.
No, I was
but
like Gonzaga against Baylor. Like, I'm rooting for Gonzaga in the national title this year in college basketball.
Baylor. I'm
like,
rooting for Baylor.
I know.
I root for the state, and then I root for the conference after that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I don't have that in me. I know that's like feels like rite of passage with joining the SEC is that you almost have to do that. You got to root for your conference.
There's a lot of conference pride in the SEC.
Yeah, and it's just like a – it's going to be hard for me, man.
I know. Yeah, look, I'm fascinated with the move. I think it's the right move. I've had people ask me, so you're really excited about it? Not really. I mean, I'm curious to see what it looks like, but I'm not really excited to join the SEC. Yet I think it's the right move, but I'm not excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I there'll be excitement once it starts. Like once, I think you'll start getting
you may
excited
be right.
Once like you actually are going to play SEC teams.
Yep.
Right now, I can understand why you're thinking about more the macro of Texas going to SEC, the cultural fit, compatibility.
Where Texas has been on the field.
Where Texas has been on the field, and so I understand why there'd be some. I don't know if you lack of excitement.
Yeah,
unenthusiasm. If that's
it's
a
almost
word.
Like neutral. Like, you know, they got to make this move, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And covering it and being a Texas fan, I'm still fascinated with it. But I'm not as geeked up as some Texas fans are.
Yeah, I can see that. You can be apathetic about it.
Yeah.
Before we break for Rod's rant of the day, can we take a look at a couple of texts? We asked people on the Specs text line 337-3776, what would be the worst first dance song at a wedding? Because our boy Rod B is getting married this weekend.
Your area code so far is probably the best.
We've got Get Low
worst.
Get Low by the Ying Yang Twins.
Yeah.
We've got You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, God.
Just feels like a nice slide at the significant other right there. Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
Yeah. That'll get you in trouble.
Creep by Radiohead.
Wow. That would be a terrible one. That'd be terrible.
And I think it is a fantastic song.
It is a great song.
But not in that situation.
Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Already? We're just getting it.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a pretty rough one to listen to. WAP. There's a vote for WAP.
Hey,
here.
You know what? I'm with that. Yeah, Fession Wedding Night.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shaggy's It Wasn't Me.
Yeah, don't.
Don't do that.
Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up.
See, once again, very sexual.
And just a bad song, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bad song?
I wasn't a fan of that.
It wasn't, it was great. I don't know if it was bad.
Those are some of the better ones that we've gotten so far in terms of worst first dance songs. Keep those coming. If you'd be so kind, 337-3776.
My woman says we're going to dance to Stand By Me.
Oh, well, that's a good song.
Which version?
Classic.
Benny King?
Old school. The new, I don't know, probably the old original version.
Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah, we'll go with the original version. Okay. A lot of old people there.
That's a great selection.
Yeah, a classic.
Yeah.
It's going to be classy affair, man.
I like that.
Well, you still got a slipper tongue.
I don't know. I'm going to ask her about that. No, seriously. We're going to work
She's
that
gonna
out.
She's going to say no.
And I'll text you and let you know what she says about me slipping her the tongue.
Give me Vegas odds for that also.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to Roger Rab the day. Interesting article. I saw it at Longhorn's Wire, I believe, so I'll give them credit. Actually went through the new proposed SEC 16 teams with Texas and Oklahoma and ranked the rivalry games. And I want to have a discussion about where the Texas rivalry is. Just I talked about how Texas is getting back now. It's Texas A&M rivalry, getting the Texas-Arkansas rivalry back. And, of course, Texas-Oklahoma, one of the best rivalries in college football. Where do they rank among the SEC rivalry games? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9 and 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
Oh, you've got it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Keep on holding. Keep on holding those butts, because Rod is going to be here in 3, 2, 1. Keep on holding the butts, preferably your own.
Do I need to stand up to hold my butts? Can I be seated while holding my butts?
You can be seated.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't know why.
I'm grabbing my butt now.
Right, yeah, I was doing that too.
You got me into that quickly.
Yeah, I don't know why I pluralized butts as if I have more than one myself.
Right.
I'm not sure how that works.
We're holding on to our butts, Rod. Nah, you're all good.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, we get to hear the Gap Band a little
bit.
All right,
my bad. Sorry about that, my
This
fault,
would not
fellas.
Be a good first song either.
What? You dropped the bomb on
Yeah.
me? Yeah, I'm trying to think what the meaning of it is. I think, is it like a love bomb?
No, I think it's more, you dropped a bomb that's not good news, right?
Oh, really?
I
thought it was
so.
Like a love bomb. Like, you dropped your love bomb.
It may be that, too, yeah.
Like, you know, I got my love gun
oh,
and
yeah,
love
could
bomb.
Be that.
I don't know. It seems like a positive song, but you could be right. I have never paid attention to the lyrics
really
of
haven't
You Dropped
either,
the Bomb.
I'm noticing
on me.
That
I have
now.
No idea what kind of song it is. All right, folks. I want to get into this article. It's a very interesting article from Longhorn's Wire. I'll give them credit. Griffin McVeigh. Shout out to Griffin because he went through a little thought experiment here and went and ranked the 7 best rivalries in the newly formed SEC, the new look 16-team SEC, which will take effect in the foreseeable future. We just don't know if it's going to be 2022 or 2023, 24, 25.
And not historic rivalries, but things that could be rivalries. Is it more that?
No,
like Oklahoma, Bama is not a rivalry.
No, I think he actually goes through like what are considered traditional rivals, or at least for him. And I think most of these are traditional rivals. So he's not, it's not a hypothetical thought experiment about what rivals
Texas,
could emerge
Florida,
right
yeah,
out of
yeah.
this. It's just about what are the teams that actually have tradition and rivalries already, I believe. And so we'll get into what we think are going to be the top rivalries in the new look SEC. But here's how he had them ranked. He calls it the Southwest Classic. Anybody know what that rivalry may be?
I'm guessing.
He called it the Southwest Classic.
That it's Texas and Arkansas?
A&M in Arkansas.
A&M in Arkansas.
Yeah,
okay.
He's got A&M in Arkansas.
Oh, I think
here.
That's what they call that game when they play at Jerry World.
Okay.
They try to give it like a creative name to, I guess, give it reason to be played at a neutral site.
Yeah.
And that game never comes close to filling up Jerry World, so people have no idea why they play
good
it at
point.
Jerry
yeah.
World.
Yeah.
Like even Chad will tell you it's stupid that the game is there. But yeah, I guess Southwest Classic is what they call that thing.
Okay. Southwest, I get.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, AT&T Stadium. I think he said 2011,
well, Southwest
12.
Conference, right?
Yeah. Saw, yeah, they saw on campus games, but then Jerry Jones came in and took it over.
Yeah,
because he's an Arkansas guy. He's a Razorback.
That could end up being a hell of a game if Arkansas gets back in the game a little bit.
Yeah,
Arkansas has almost beaten them a couple times, and A&M has somehow, the last 10 years, somehow won those.
Been able to pull it out. The number six rivalry on his list is, he's called it the Deep South's oldest rivalry, Auburn-Georgia.
Yep.
He's got Auburn-Georgia. It's the sixth best rivalry in this new look SEC.
God, I mean, that's a great rivalry, and that's actually what they call that rivalry, too. Mm. That's the name of the game, and it's been going on forever. That's the crossover game that those two teams play every year, but there is some pure hatred going both ways in that one. So, and usually the two teams are pretty damn good, too. So that's a really, really fun one to watch. And the fact that that's only number six, like for some conferences, that'd be a top two or three rivalry. But I think we're about to get to some really damn good ones.
Yeah, he's got, I don't know if I agree with this one, he's got fifth, Tennessee-Alabama.
Tennessee-Alabama's a big rivalry.
It is a big rivalry, just not big, right? It hadn't been
big
since
right
Tennessee's
now.
Been so down, and Alabama's been so up.
Right.
Like, Alabama's become the greatest basically dynastic champion in the history of college football, and Tennessee is on one of their worst downtrodden runs in the history of their football program.
Nationally, historically, so not just from 2000 on when the SEC's been dominating, that would be, I think, the biggest football rivalry, even more than the Iron Bowl.
Interesting.
Because Tennessee has been better than Auburn.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the two
for
blue
110
bloods.
Years.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Two traditional blue bloods. It's like old school. That's old money.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, like I almost wonder if Alabama even considers Tennessee a rival anymore.
They don't.
I'm sure like old school Alabama fans were around when Tennessee was really good, views it as a rivalry, but like people my age and younger,
no. They probably don't.
They see Georgia or LSU probably more as a rival than Tennessee. Like the new fans, like the newbies.
Like
teams
that can actually keep it within four touchdowns against them.
Yeah.
Great point. Number four on this list, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, which is, of course, Florida, Georgia. And I'm surprised that didn't make it into the top three.
Yeah, and Jackson.
That probably should be in the top three. Because, yeah, I think we're all going to agree that he should have switched three and four here. He's got number three, the Egg Bowl.
Okay.
Oh, get out of here. I know what he's saying. No, the Egg Bowl's not in the top five for me.
No.
The Egg Bowl may not be on this list for me.
The Egg Bowl got sexier when you got the Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach thing. And I know there's a story tradition about the Egg Bowl, but I would put the largest outdoor cocktail party ahead of that one.
Yeah, I would too.
Easily.
I'd put Alabama-Tennessee ahead of it. Yeah. I'd put Georgia-Auburn ahead of it.
You guys ever been to the cocktail party before?
I have not.
I have not.
It's like my biggest regret from college is not going to that one year. Because, I mean, I had friends who went to both schools, and they both raved about it. Like, it's the greatest weekend every year. You got to go.
I can believe it.
You got to go. It's just like a massive party on Frat Beach is what they call it. And it's just like a week of partying leading up to an awesome game.
A week?
Yeah.
A whole week?
Some people get there, like, on Tuesday.
Wow.
And start partying. I mean, most people, it's Thursday to Friday is when they show
up.
But, like, some people actually turn it into, like, a fall break type of thing.
Fantastic.
I'm going to try and crash that party with Dave Paul.
Pluck
One of the
Nation.
Owners of Pluckers,
yeah.
Who's got Georgia
idea.
Season tickets. He's
told
me about it.
Like he'd be
the right guy to
go.
Well,
now you got a reason to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, at least now you're in the SEC family.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there an age limit on that thing?
How dare you?
Well, they'll be of age.
I'm asking for me, too.
They'll be all the women are of age. What does it mean?
Oh, okay.
You mean like you don't want to be the old man
right,
out there?
Yeah.
There are lots of old guys.
You
want to
be telling
there.
Your friends that you're hanging out at Frat Beach.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's the question.
That's a good point.
I mean, yeah. I do. So it's just a question for you guys.
Yeah. Married Rod cannot. Independent Rod, maybe.
Mm.
Got a shot at that. Number two on this list is the Red River Shootout. They actually called it the Red River Shootout on here, too. Maybe that comes back because he's in the SEC.
It's a Come Texas on. Guy.
Less politically correct.
Right.
yeah, so they got Texas OU as the number two rivalry in the new-look SEC, hypothetically. And they got, of course, the Iron Bowl, Bama-Auburn at number one.
I can see that. I'd have that third or fourth.
The Iron Bowl?
To me, that's always been—
What would be number one? Cocktail party?
Texas OU, then the cocktail
Texas
party.
Texas OU.
And then Alabama-Tennessee probably, Alabama-Tennessee maybe too. But I'm also thinking of this from a national perspective.
You have a historical perspective.
Thank you. Yeah. And when it matters. And so I get where he's coming from on that. But this is, that was not a national matchup when my dad was watching college football.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a great point. No, I'm with you on that. Because you made a good point about the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry, because I really didn't think of it like you're talking about, but you're right. At one point, that's considered
a long time.
Yeah, a great rivalry, too. So they did not list. Go ahead, BK.
I was going to ask, maybe you were about to say this. Texas A&M is not on there?
That's exactly what I was about to ask.
Is A&M Arkansas considered a bigger rivalry than Texas A&M?
I don't think so.
That's kind of what I'm asking. So where would you put Texas A&M on the list? And even Texas Arkansas, if you want to throw them on there. What is the...
Texas A&M really has the national feel of what Alabama Auburn does to a lot of people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that have been watching this for a long time. And that is that that regionally people probably thought it was bigger than it was.
Oh, yeah. Texas A&M has always suffered from that.
Right.
And especially
Texas OU doesn't suffer from that.
And I think Texas A&M, yeah, you're right. That's always national title implications most of the time.
Most time.
Texas A&M, I truly believe, it became a regional rivalry. And Texas A&M, it was bigger to them because they didn't have another rival, and Texas had Oklahoma.
And Arkansas,
but the Oklahoma, more importantly, they had a national rival, and A&M never had a national rival, so it meant more to Aggies than it did to the Longhorns. That was part of it. Now, I think that obviously the circumstance and narrative has changed. I know it sounds crazy. I probably would put the Texas A&M rivalry ahead of Texas A&M Arkansas.
I would.
Yeah.
And
I'd put it ahead of the Egg Bowl.
I'm going to say it might be in the same situation with the Egg Bowl, and I'll tell you why. Because the Egg Bowl got sexy, like I said, with the Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach hires. Yeah. It got sexy again. But Texas A&M is now kind of experiencing a reemergence itself because of all the drama surrounding the two programs and the fan bases. And if you are regional enough, and now the SEC is keeping up with this because they got the Aggies in the conference, and Texas football fans and even Big 12 football fans, they know the vitriol and the petty history of Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a sexy rivalry.
And it's strengthened over the last 10 years.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, right? Because of the Texas Cold War, you could argue that the rivalry is more tense than it's ever been because they haven't had an outlet.
Right.
To release the frustration.
Yeah, it's weird, right? You think in most of the other rivalries you talk about, like hell, Texas and Arkansas, like over time that rivalry has gotten weaker.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, it feels like it's gotten stronger.
It had the hatred has grown.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
And just to add to that, so Texas is the latest rankings I'm looking at, total wins in college football history. Texas is fourth. Texas A&M is 22nd. I'm trying to find Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And look, he may
great
have
point.
A completely different, hey, it's just about the atmosphere or whatever.
Like a bunch of people died in that rivalry.
Who?
The Egg Bowl. I feel like Mississippi State fans just kill an Ole Miss fan every year. Like, is that why this is so high on the list? They're just crazy. It's Mississippi. You never know.
I don't know if there's a history that we just don't know about. Maybe I'm ignorant to, because KD brought up a good point about the Tennessee-Alabama thing that I was a little ignorant towards. So maybe there's a history that's really cool that we don't know about. But I tend to agree that I would take right now, I think I'd take Texas A&M over Mississippi State.
I would.
I'd take that over the Egg Bowl. But like I said, I'm a little biased because I'm in Texas, and I want to see that rivalry rekindled, and I know how salacious the headlines would be between the two fan bases and between the two schools. So I don't know. You could argue my point, but you could argue that Texas right now in the new-look SEC would have two of the top five best rivalries in the entire conference.
Yeah.
You could make that argument if you want to with Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's going to be fun, isn't it?
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it is.
The rivalries are coming back, man.
It is going to be fun. I guess I'm getting back to it. I'm more curious about anything. And some of that could be trepidation. Some of that could be just seeing where Texas kind of fits into this.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to be realistic about that, which does curb my excitement.
Was Texas A&M South Carolina on there as one of the best rivalries in the SEC? Did that make the cut?
Oh, Lord.
Because they're trying to force that one on us, aren't they?
That's happening.
Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day, running down the best rivalries in the new look SEC. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we'll talk about the Cowboys. Our lifetime Longhorn could be switching positions up in Big D. Plus, Dallas has itself a new hooker. Next.
Man, you're on fire today, BK. You're on fire.
Thank you. This was a text request. This is a song that would be a pretty terrible one for a first dance at a wedding.
Well, it's a nice song.
The title of this one, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you want that playing in front of a full audience of people.
Nah, it's not the message you want to get across.
No.
Okay. It's a nice song, though.
It's a great song. Just would be a little confusing to be played at a wedding.
But then he says, only to be with you.
Yeah, but here, listen to this.
And I know he says he still wants, so why does he say to be with you, though?
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Well, he says he travels all this way to see with you, yeah. And then he says, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
So he's basically like, you are not it. I traveled all this way, well, you wasted my time.
It's like, yeah, you're all right, but it's not what I'm looking for, so sorry about that one, Chief.
And
yeah.
I thought you were it.
Yeah. Man.
Which would be even worse.
That would be worse, yeah. No, that would be a real mess. And you know, everybody at first would be like, that's a nice song, but hold up, isn't he saying that she's not the one?
Yeah.
Not good. And that's not the case.
She is the one.
We know that.
Damn right.
It's going to be the last show for our Rod Babers, independent Rod Babers. We'll be back. Can be back next Thursday?
I'll be back next Thursday. That's right. You guys have a remote this Thursday, don't you?
We do. Yeah. We're going to be the Total Men's in San Marcos.
Shout out. Sorry, I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll snag you some Gatorade and some Cheez-Its.
That's in Jeff Howe's neck of the woods. He's going to live down there in San Marcos now.
Yeah, we're all going out to the square afterwards.
What is the square?
It's like a big college spot down there.
Where there's a lot of hot
Interesting.
Girls.
It's dangerous, dude.
Yeah. No, San Marcos is blowing up a little bit, I hear.
Yeah.
Well, not, I mean, it's always been a pretty
That's why it's dangerous.
Spot,
a lot of bombs. It's blowing up.
No, people are moving to San Marcos.
A lot of smoke shows. There's people moving to all crazy spots that I never thought they would. If you're working in Austin, but it makes sense now. I've talked about Hutto and Taylor.
Because nobody can afford to live in Austin anymore.
Yeah.
You got to move on the outskirts.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, man. For real.
Kidding. All right, we're going to miss you, buddy. We're happy for you. We're proud of you.
I appreciate that, man.
We got a little gift later on for you. And we're still going to do registry. We're still, don't worry about that.
Oh, man, you guys don't have to worry about that stuff.
No, we are.
Come on now.
Classy. Classy group of guys, you guys. Classy.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So some Cowboys news, guys. We'll start with Connor Williams, the lifetime Longhorn, who is slated to be the starter at left guard for the Cowboys. That's where he's been for the last couple of years in Big D. Joe Looney, who was kind of the do-it-all versatile offensive line piece for the Cowboys over the last couple of years, no longer with the team, signed away in free agency. The Cowboys' projected starting center is Tyler Biadasz, who was a draft pick in 2020 for them. He got some run last year. But apparently, Connor Williams has been getting some reps at center as well. Now, Connor Williams is not going to start at center. The plan is for Tyler Biadasz to be that guy, so this is not a position battle or anything there, but if something happens to Tyler Biadasz, Rod, it sounds like Connor Williams might be the number two center, and the Cowboys feel better about their depth at guard than they do with their depth at center. So Connor Williams getting a little bit of cross-training, and we might see him play at center in 2021.
It's actually good for him. I know he's improved at guard, and you know, and that's really good for his future prospects as a pro. But the more you can do, the better chance you have to make an NFL roster and stick on an NFL roster. This makes him a more valuable asset, not only with the Cowboys, but going forward in the future. He'll have that on his resume that, oh, no, I can play a little center if needed. And when you only have a certain amount of roster spots, if a guy can fulfill two of those spots, if he can be your backup center or your third-team center but also be your starting guard, those are the types of things that GMs love because that just it means you bring more value to the roster.
No doubt. And Looney did that. You're exactly right. So it may be a good fit for him, and maybe his role in the NFL is being a good guard. You want to be at least be average, but a good guard. But also, hey, the reason I'm going to stick on a roster for 10 years is versatility.
No doubt.
Yeah, Connor Williams, the only Cowboys offensive lineman to play 100% of the snaps last season. We know how injured that room
was. He got
was
better, too.
In 2020. And yeah, he did get better.
He got better.
Like part of me is wondering, was he really that much better, or were the guys around him that much worse so he looked better?
Good point.
But I do tend to agree with you. I think his game has improved. I don't know if Connor Williams has ever played center before. Like, he obviously played left tackle at Texas, and then as soon as he was drafted by the Cowboys, they shifted him to guard.
I doubt he was playing in high school at that time.
Yeah,
I
don't, he's just so athletic.
Yeah, yeah,
it's more like a tight end.
Right tackle over.
Yeah. So maybe.
But that's good, though. I mean, he's going to basically be able to say, I played at a high level. I've played every position on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
At a high level, I play tackle, guard, and center now.
On the left side.
Well.
Must be a Crip.
Okay.
That's the only logical explanation here, right?
Crip.
Love to hear Connor Williams say that. Connor Williams did give a quote, though, when asked about potentially being the Cowboys' backup center. He said, quote, "Y'all all know how the O-line game goes. Guy goes down every now and then, and you never make it through a whole season healthy. It's definitely nice to be able to move pieces in and out and have some versatility. Hopefully I never have to play center this year, but I may have to."
And yeah.
So there's Connor Williams kind of talking about the potential there. Guys, in an ode to the 90s, the Cowboys have themselves a new hooker.
Hey!
Well done.
The White House? That is well
Good
done.
Good for you. Thanks. You got to be a certain age to even get the joke about them.
I know.
Cowboys don't get in trouble with hookers as much as they used to.
I don't even know if I'm that age.
I don't even know if I'm old enough to say that. Great point. You're an old soul.
You are a hooker soul.
I feel like I have to apologize. Thanks, man. That means a lot.
That's a compliment for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's a hooker soul?
He's a hooker soul.
Really?
For him, yeah. If I say it to you, you'd look at me and say that,
if
wow,
he's the hooker on, you know, a Julia Roberts type hooker.
Hey.
There you go.
Or of an escort type.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just so she's a hooker with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Hooker with a heart of gold.
They all do.
What? She was.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Julia Roberts.
Everybody, she started her first role was as a hooker.
Yeah.
Is that based on a true story?
I'm sure somewhere it was true.
I was not with her, though.
A hooker that somebody decided to wife up? Mm. Yeah, it's happened multiple times.
hate to use this word with this, but loosely based on a true story, I think. It took Rod a second. He's like, "All right, I got you."
Well, it's about your dirty mind.
You're like, "All right, there it is.
There it is.
There it is."
Unreal. Well, for those who are very confused about what we're talking about, the Cowboys did sign Malik Hooker.
Ohio State, right?
Earlier today. Yes, Ohio
State.
First round pick of the Indianapolis Colts. Had a pretty decent career. He hasn't been a bust or anything, but he did tear his Achilles
last season.
So coming off a pretty serious injury. And yeah, he has dealt with multiple injuries during his time in the league. Hooker actually visited with the Cowboys earlier this offseason. No signing was done then, but he visited for a second time this week, and he has officially signed with the Dallas Cowboys.
It's good news, man.
Help at safety for the Cowboys. Like, that's, you know, they technically addressed the safety spot. And they brought in DeMonte Casey, and they've tried to make some moves there. They drafted a safety, too, pretty late in the draft, so technically they have made some moves to try to get better at that position, but... Right, we've talked about it ad nauseum on this show, on previous shows. The Cowboys have just neglected that position forever. They're hoping this can be a, you know, buy low, sell high type of thing with Malik Hooker. They're hoping they can get that potential and that healthy Malik Hooker that we've seen at times during his NFL career.
Yeah, every NFL franchise, you know, because you're in a salary cap league, so they're on a fixed income, they find certain positions. Sometimes it's because you have a great eye as a GM and you know you can find value at said position, that linebacker. I have a formula for wide receivers, whatever it is. And for the Cowboys, for years, they just believe I can find value at safety.
Yeah.
Whether it be a project turning a cornerback into a safety, guys like Malik Hooker who were once first-round draft picks and now their value has dropped, that they can pick those guys up. Maybe that's a bargain for them. So they're always trying to find value there, and it comes back to haunt them more oftentimes than not. I love this move, though. I do. I was a big fan of Malik Hooker coming out of Ohio State, long, rangy, athletic. If he can just stay healthy, he's a starting safety for the Cowboys,
in
my opinion. I think it will be him and Donovan Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the former Aggie.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of depth there. They lost Xavier Woods, of course, this offseason. They brought in Keanu Neal, but he's getting more reps at linebacker now, so it feels like that's going to be the fit for him. I think the Cowboys, KD, expect Malik Hooker to be competing, if not a guaranteed starter this fall.
Yeah, I just wonder how much intel they have on how healthy he is. Now, because the Achilles above everything for me, for a position where you really got to run. I worry about that. But looking at it right now, he's 25 years old. So if he's 32 coming off the Achilles and already there had been tread off the tires, I'd be thinking, all right, you're probably not getting what you want here. There's a chance this could be a steal for them. And it's, like you guys said, an area of such need, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd take that gamble.
Yeah, I use the buy low, sell high. You could go low risk, high reward as well for this, for the Cowboys. So hopefully it works out. They definitely need help in that defensive backfield. Not a lot of experience back there for the Cowboys. They need to get better there in 2021 to compete for the playoffs and maybe something bigger too. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. There's some Cowboys conversation as camp continues in Oxnard, California. When we return, we haven't touched on this yet. Maybe the biggest story coming from the Olympic Games involves the GOAT, Simone Biles. We'll talk about her situation. We'll also give an update on what's going on in Tokyo, and perhaps a legendary career for a legendary lifetime Longhorn is coming to an end. That's next.